Father, we thank you for this day. Again, ask you to speak to our hearts. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of the first and the last, the one who became dead and rose in life. I am the one who was before all creation, and I am the one who will be standing and remain when all else is gone. I am your Lord, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who is and who was and who is to come. I am the Almighty. And I have a message for you, a message set in eternity. First, I know you. I walk among all of the churches of Asia Minor: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Tell her you're here. She doesn't need to keep giving you directions. That's okay. First, I know you. I walk among all the churches of Asia Minor: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, each and every one. I am there. I see you. I know you. I know what you are going through. Nothing escapes my notice. I know your story from front to back, beginning to end. I know your troubles and your great poverty. I know that you are slandered by those who profess to be the people of God, but who in reality serve Satan. So listen carefully to the Eternal One. You will not be able to understand what I am about to tell you, or understand life at all. Not your life, not the life of your church, not anyone's life, if you do not understand these things in the context of eternity. So pay careful attention, so that through your suffering you will hear my voice. I will always be there. I will never abandon you. Know that you are not alone, never alone, never forsaken. Be faithful unto death, and I will reward you with the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. What does the Lord mean by that phrase, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death? The second death is the lake of fire. Not being hurt by the second death means that you will never have to face God's terrible final judgment. Have you ever noticed, I have, how uncomfortable, even angry, people can get when the subject is eternal punishment? Even believers, even some of you, right now are probably squirming a little in your pew. We would much prefer to talk about heaven than to talk about God throwing people into the lake of fire. I know I would. Truth be known, I squirm, sometimes more than a little. Not because I think that we shouldn't speak to God's judgment of the sinfulness of man, because it is absolutely necessary, but I fail God and I fail you if I don't. And not that I would for a minute foolishly think that God is unfair or unjust. For me, it is the sense of great tragedy and extreme sadness I feel as my mind captures a glimpse of the terror and the finality of that moment for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Why can't people hear this message of God? Or why do they refuse to listen? Context. It's a problem of context. Whether in the church or in the world, we face the same problem. We can't hear God or receive his words if we do not listen in the context of eternity. Those living in darkness do not want to look beyond this life. Why do people become so angry? Because deep down, they know. They know they are pretending. Then we come along and unravel their cocoon of pretense. We threaten the very existence of what they have created when we expose their lives to eternity. Or, as is the case with the church at Smyrna, Christ brings them great encouragement by setting their lives in the context of eternity. If you would, if you're not already there, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write the words of the first and the last who came and who died and came to life. Now, what we have noticed and will continue to notice with each of the seven churches, Christ brings a different point of emphasis as to who he is, as to his character. And here he says he's the first and the last. We think first and the last, and we think the beginning and the end. We think Alpha and Omega. And what Jesus is speaking to them, it's the message that they need to hear. It's the message that we need to hear, is that to hear the words of God, it has to be in the context of forever. We have to look past this life. We have to look past this world. Our world's here. We build protective barriers, and we don't want to look past that. We don't want to just, you can have someone, you can have a very good conversation going, and you can stir their hearts immediately by drawing their attention to their eternal destiny. Why? Why, even if they deny God, why even if they deny the existence of God, why do they get angry and so perturbed with us? Because it's set in their heart that even though they are fallen, it is still eternity is set in their heart. They know there's something more. Romans 1 tells us that every time they look around this world, the invisible attributes of God tell them that he is there. Romans 1 tells us that they're in a continual battle of suppressing what is right and true. We have to view our lives. Eternity is what brings everything into focus. Eternity sets the stage, and it either then speaks a very powerful message of strength and courage, or it speaks a message of terror in having to meet this God. Well, Jesus' message to them when he tells them, whoever conquers, whoever wins in this, whoever overcomes, will not have to ever worry. Never let it cross your mind. The second death, which is the lake of fire. You've got those verses. I'll just take a minute to read them on your study sheet. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is what? The second death. Now, Smyrna is one of two churches that there's no condemnation brought. It's only all good things that God says about this church. Smyrna is a suffering church. The church at Smyrna, the city of Smyrna was a prominent city in Asia Minor. A prominent city. Let me just give us a little blurb. The city of Smyrna, modern-day Izmir, was a prominent port city on the west coast of Asia Minor with excellent inland connections. Population was an estimated 250,000 people in the Apostle Paul's day, It was a thriving city at the end of a major highway. The word for Smyrna is myrrh. Suffering. The church at Smyrna was a suffering church and one of only two of the seven churches that received commendation and no condemnation in Christ's letter to them. Christ is going to speak to them a message that could be very difficult for them to receive. Do you remember, and I'm sure just a lot of you do, that old country western song, I Beg Your Pardon? Chuck, you probably don't know this one. I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Well, folks, God doesn't promise a rose garden. He promises so much more. We have to understand, though, when he tells them, do not fear the things you're about to suffer. How can they believe that? How can they receive those words? Because they have to see past this life. See, we let too many things in this life derail us. Well, it's so unfair, and there are unfair things, and there are unjust things in this life. God still speaks his words to us. Why can't we hear them? See, in Proverbs 2, let's just turn there for a minute. Proverbs 2, verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. I'm even going old school here and going toward in my paper Bible, so look at that. Okay, and I'm slow. Proverbs 2, verse 1. If you receive my words. See, it's all about reception. Of course, Paul had written, talked about commended the Bereans. They received the word of God as the word of God. It's the word of God no matter how we receive it, but it's our perception. And often we can't receive his words. Again, these are each letters. Just keep your finger in Proverbs 2. But the seven churches are seven literal letters to seven literal churches around AD 95, 96 that for review, everybody wasn't here for the whole study. For review, John was caught up in a vision. He was told, he said, write down these things. Write down these words I'm speaking to you. Write down everything you see. You write that down, and then it's going to be copied, and it's going to be sent to these seven churches. But we have to understand our Lord, because he's infinite and all-wise and all-knowing. He knows they're going to struggle hearing some of these words. Whether the words are good words for encouragement or words of judgment, we struggle if they are not set in the context of eternity. And he approaches them and he says, I'm the God of eternity. I'm the first and the last. But it's receiving these words is the key. Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words. Well, what's the verse I keep repeating? He who has an ear, what? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's that if there's anything of your consciousness that's starting to embrace these words that God's speaking, don't reject it. It might not come again. Here, receive these words. And then it goes further in the concept in Proverbs 2, and treasure up my commandments with you. We value these words. We have to value these words. Making your ear attentive to wisdom. We just think, oh, we'll just listen and I'll pick up what I want to pick up and it'll just come in. And no, it's not like it. You incline your ear to wisdom. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. You call out for insight. You raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it as a treasure like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then is so important in this text. Then you will understand the fear, the reverence of the Lord. What does that mean? And then it hits you. This is a holy God who dwells in unapproachable light, who is speaking to me. That, folks, is when you can hear the words. Because his voice quiets all the din of this world. His voice kicks worry, anxiety to the curb. When you're hearing the voice of a holy, God who dwells in unapproachable light. Now you're getting somewhere. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Well, that Lord that they're talking about in Proverbs 2, it's the same Lord that we're speaking of in Revelation 2. And Jesus tells them, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write the words of the first and the last. And some of your Bibles say, and he's saying, it's this whole idea of saying it, expressing it, giving them the words. So we understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of eternity. But it gets much more specific and precise. It says that we hear it in every one of them, write it. Write down the words. Why? Because it's the most precise way to communicate anything. You write it down. You write it down, and you can go back and look. If you're like me, I read through the Bible a lot, but I'll go back to this verse. So this is what this means. I'll go back to this verse. Oh, yeah, glad I had it written down. Because that's not quite what God said, what I thought he said. The precision, it's in the words. It's in the clear. It's like we saw, some of you saw in our video for Sunday school, the main things are the plain things. I had mentioned in our first church, I had the man tell me, he said that he, in his study, what he did was, he read between the lines to find the secret things, the hidden things in the Bible. You're so far off. Or if we have to bring reams of other literature in to make the Bible interesting, or to draw our attention, we're missing the main point. If you're reading God's Word, studying God's Word, and it is not filling your heart and soul and putting your feet on a path of eternity, then we're missing something. And Jesus introduces himself to this church at Smyrna. Smyrna was an affluent town, but it wasn't friendly to the believers. It was friendly to Caesar. It had quite an alliance with Caesar. And they were a persecuted church. What do you tell a persecuted people? Well, we're not in that same place as Smyrna was, but do any of us like to hear a message, well, you're about to suffer some things? I get a text like this, and you'll forgive me, won't you? But I'll think, these people don't want to hear this. Just generally speaking, we don't want to hear about suffering, do we? How do we hear a message like that? Set in the context of eternity. It's worth it. Whatever, even until our death. And if it causes our death, it's worth it. That's what we have in salvation through Jesus Christ. I hope with all of my heart you know that. That what you have, what Jesus Christ has purchased at Calvary, this gift of salvation, it is worth dying for. So we have the context of eternity. We have the context of words. That's what the Bible is all about. It's what the Bible is all about. It's the words. It's not us going in and finding something interesting. It's not us going in and being creative. It's going in and saying, God, what do you want me to know? What should I be doing? Where should my heart be? God, and the psalmist even prayed, he confessed his sin, and he said, and Lord, even if there's a hidden way in me, there's sin in me that I don't even, would you bring that, so I bring that hidden sin before you? That's what the word, that's what was so refreshing. When you see someone respond to the word, oh, here's what the word says. Oh, well, that's what I should be doing. So we understand the message of Christ in the context of his words. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of eternity. The first and the last. And then we understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of life and death, who died and came to life. Now, the Greek scholars will tell us that what this says here is who became dead and came to life. Jesus' death wasn't because of the Romans, and it wasn't because of the Jews. They did not have that power. Yes, the Romans gave him up to the Jews to put him on a cross, but he laid his life down. He gave his life up. He said, I became dead. Why would he do such a thing? So we could become alive, because we are born dead in our trespasses and sins. So he became dead so that we could rise to life. That's what our Lord has done for us. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of life and death. I don't want to trivialize it, and I've tried to think of a better expression to say it, but we have our expression, been there, done that, don't we? Been there, done that. Well, that's what Jesus, he says, I became dead and I am alive. He said, I've been there, done that. Don't fear death. Don't fear what you're about to suffer. He said, I've been there and I've done that. You got to love Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deepest darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I went King James on you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort thee. Goes on and speaks of his God in the presence of his enemies, setting a table for him. Sometimes we're going in the presence of our enemies, we're going into a hostile environment. Hang on to that one. Have your life right before God. It doesn't matter the environment. It doesn't matter if it's friend or foe. This is the God who we serve. And he says, I've walked through that valley of deepest darkness. I've been there. I will bring you through it. I will be with you, and I will be for you. He is our great shepherd, our chief shepherd, our good shepherd. If you die before he comes, you die before the rapture and he catches us up in the air to take us to be with himself, who's going to be there at that moment? Your shepherd. The shepherd doesn't leave his sheep. He said, I'm the one who became dead. I'm the one who became dead and came to life. We understand the message in the context of life and death. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of his knowledge of our lives. Verse 9. I know your tribulation. Let's just stop. I know. I know. He's telling you, I know. He said, I know. Now we know from previous verses that he dwells in their midst. He walks through the lampstands, the seven. He said, I'm the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Those lampstands are the churches. Again, these seven churches that we've been speaking of in Asia Minor. Jesus is saying, I know what you're about. I know about your life. I know about the life of your church. He said, I know your persecution. I know your suffering. I know your great poverty. He said, I know it hurts to be poor. I know you're poor because you've been rejected by this social system because you won't honor Caesar. And instead of being head of the company, you're sweeping streets or cleaning toilets. He said, I know. He said, I know. They need to know that he knows. You need to know. I need to know that he knows what's going on in your life. And when we know that, and we know he can take care of us, we know then that our God is looking out for us. Let me come back to my verse. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. Why would he throw that in? They're not rich. Well, they are. See, they're poor. Just the context of this earth, the context of this world. They're poor, and it was a devastating poverty. It was a burden. But he says, but now Let's put this in the context of eternity. You know you're rich, don't you? You know you're rich, don't you? He became poor that we might be rich. You see how this thing works? You see how we don't have our focus? You see how we're not seeing clearly if we don't let these things be put in the context of eternity? This is why he can say something that seems contradictory. I know your poverty, but you are rich. And they are great treasure in heaven. And you know what? Even if there weren't treasures, even if there weren't rewards, who could even, you know, if we get rewards, well, you know, I'm good with that, because if that's what God decides and he's all wise. But you know what the riches are? That we did it. That we honored God as God on this planet. Do you understand the treasure you have in the stewardship of walking in this darkness, in this filthy mess, in a world that received a perfect man and crucified him? You know the treasure that is in the riches? What joy, folks. Our hearts, our chests should pound with joy, anticipating being before our God and him giving us his thumbs up. Good job, smile, whatever. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whatever that is. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of our lives. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Is there, when, it always hurts when people lie about you, doesn't it? It's always a pretty good dagger to the gut, isn't it? But when it's the religious people, when it's the people that are, we're the people of God, when it's that group, maybe a little extra measure of the agony. What's Jesus tell them? He says, I know. You know, the things that we deal with in this earth. You ever look at it this way? We, you know, what our missionary tell us, you know, she said, well, I knew what I was like. I had a mirror at home. And we've got that spiritual mirror, and we can see who we are. And we can see, and the Lord's going to be evaluating these churches, and he's going to be exposing them. Isn't it a good thing we have a great God? Isn't it a good thing that we're not actually trusting in other people? Isn't it a good thing that we know he will never leave? He will never forsake. He will always be there, and he will always speak the truth to us if we are listening. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of his knowledge of our lives. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of our battle with the devil. Verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Sometimes people, it's too much, the devil, this is a fault. It's like, no, it's your rebellion. It's your thirst for immorality. It's not the devil, it's you. But we can't ever forget, we are in a spiritual battle. This context that we're talking about, that we live in, that we hear the words of God, never forget you have an arch enemy whose intent is to kill and to steal and to destroy. John 10:10, what did Jesus say? I came that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. He said, but the thief comes what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. Never forget the spiritual battle, the evil forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Never forget we have that battle. Also never forget that God is over all too, and greater than all of that. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in our in the context of our battle with the devil. We understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of a faithful life. He tells us in the last part of verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. be faithful unto death. Now, I believe this can be seen in two different ways. Be faithful until we die, or be faithful if that leads to your death. Those are things that we don't really like to hear, but if we can allow God to set them in the context of eternity, in the context of His sovereign providential rule, in the context of His words, He's telling us reality if we'll listen to the words. He gives us the words. When we make up stuff, it's not solid ground. When He's telling us, we go right here, and when He says right here, verse 10, what are those? Do not fear. We've got the words clearly spoken, written down, as John was commanded again and again. Write it down, write it down, write it down, write and again and over, write it down. Well, you know what? John obeyed him. So I can point you to Revelation 2:10 right now and see, read right there, do not fear what you are about to suffer. We understand the message of Christ in the context of a faithful life. If you live a life true to your Lord, there will be suffering in some form. There will be persecution in some form. There is a battle ongoing. We understand, first part of verse 11, the message of Jesus Christ in the context of the urgency of the moment. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Can you hear God's urgency in that? We'll put up our spiritual defenses and it's coming in, and oh man, if I go for that, it's going to change this in my life. I'm going to have to believe that. I'm going to have to do this. There's a principle in Scripture. God will bring light to us through His Word. When we obey God in that truth, it brings us into the light. We have more light. When we fend that off, it even gets to the point where He takes away the light we have. It even gets to the point where the light we call light is actually darkness, and we looked at last week, and how great is that darkness that you think is light, but it's actually darkness. How great is that darkness? We understand the message of Jesus Christ. It's written 2,000 years approximately ago. And the Holy Spirit would speak to you now if you would listen. He who has an ear, she who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's given us all the backdrop, all the backstory. He's put eternity out there. He said, you've got to have this big picture. You got to have the whole thing to receive these words, to break the mold, to break, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, do not be conformed to this world. That's what this is all about, folks. Breaking this mold, breaking the conformity to this world. That's not just the unbelievers, it's in the church. But to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the last thing, we understand the message of Jesus Christ in the context of the lake of fire. We understand the message of Jesus Christ. Picturing, bringing this before our consciousness, the lake of fire. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. What did we say the second? What did I show you? The scripture you already knew, but we have it on our study sheet. What's the second death? The lake of fire. Is it real? Do you like it? I don't. I could fall into a puddle of tears picturing people I know, family, friends, wonderful people. They can't hear God. They won't hear God because they just, this world is their focus. They can't hear the words. They don't make sense because his words are set in the context of eternity. And I could dwell just momentarily on the tragedy and the sadness. But we need to hear the message, don't we? The one who conquers, the one who overcomes, will not be hurt by the second death. What about the one who does not win? What about the one who does not conquer? What about the one who does not overcome? Will they be hurt by the second death? Will they face the great, terrible judgment of the lake of fire of this great white throne, and then the God will cast them into this lake of fire, this burning sulfur? Isn't that a horrible thought? It is. Is God unfair or unjust in any way? No. And folks, we will know so much more. But you know who your God is. We say, man, I can't explain this. Can't explain why there couldn't something else happen. But that's, I'm a finite human, weak, fallen, sinful, mortal man. So you know what? I'm going to take the words he had John and others write down for me. Take him at his word. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to do just that. Take you at your word. To know these things real are real. Father, to carry this message. First of all, Lord, to let you carry this message to our hearts. To burn it in. To change. To break the molds and the ways we conform to this world. Transform us by the renewing of your mind, that we might know what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and true. That you would first do this work in our lives, and then we would carry this message through the world. Thank you for this wonderful stewardship we have to hold your word of truth, to hold your honor, to hold your glory, your mission, your purpose as light in the world of darkness. How we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.